from around the globe. In sold-out arenas and humble churches, from out on the streets, to your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that great preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere, and to the Aboriginal people of the earth, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, and a warner to the government and people of the United States of America, and a warner to the nations of the earth. Our subject today on the 39th edition of The Time and What Must Be Done is why the transgenic seed and the natural seed cannot coexist, and why the grafted human being is disagreeable to live with in peace. In last week's broadcast, we said that coexistence between the transgenic or grafted seed and the organic or natural seed is impossible, because the transgenic or grafted seed will contaminate and eventually overcome the organic or natural seeds. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that one of the things that must be done in this time is that we must be separated from our former slave masters and their children, because time will prove that they are going to become more and more disagreeable to live with in peace. Unfortunately, race relations will continue to get worse because the government just cannot provide enough food, clothing, shelter, and jobs or justice for us. And as we sit around waiting for somebody else to do this for us and demanding what we feel are our basic rights as so-called citizens, we are making our former slave masters and their children more angry with us, and thus they are becoming more disagreeable to live with in peace. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we must be separated if we don't want to continue to suffer great loss. We wish to examine this inability of the grafted human being and the natural man to coexist in real peace with justice, and why separation will prove to be the only answer to the problem between the black man and woman and the white people of America. On the back page of Muhammad Speaks, starting in 1962, and now on the back page of The Final Call, was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Muslim program. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to me that what you find on that back page is the constitution of the Nation of Islam, what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. And each of you that are listening to this broadcast, you will find that what the Muslims want is what each and every human being on our planet wants for themselves. The number one want: we want freedom, a full and complete freedom. We ask the question, can we grow fully without the knowledge and without the freedom to grow? Or are we yet slaves whose sphere of freedom is limited according to the wishes of our former slave masters? So if somebody can limit our growth, tell us how high we can rise, or stop us from rising, then we do not have a full and complete freedom. Regardless of the good of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, if there is no enforcement of these amendments, then they are not a reality in our lives. Then our freedom is curtailed. Our freedom is limited according to the wishes of our former slave masters and their children. The second point of the Muslim Constitution or wants are, we want justice. We want equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. Can we get that under the construct of what is defined as America, its laws, and the mentality and attitude of those who administrate those laws? Today, we cry out for justice. Today we seek justice applied equally to all, regardless of our creed or our class or our color. But do we have that? No, we don't have it. And the question you have to ask yourself, do you think we can ever get it under the present rulers and their system of governance? Number three, we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. How could this ever become a reality under the present construct? How can we ever have equality with the best in civilized society when we exist in a savage state? And the savage is a person that has lost the knowledge of self and is living the life of a beast. And the civilized person, who is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his representatives, are not allowed the complete freedom to civilize the savage people of ours so that we could become equal in society with the best in civilized society. Since we cannot get freedom, justice, and equality in this society under this rule and under these rulers, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says in point number four, we want our people in America, whose parents or grandparents were descendants of slaves, to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that that area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Now, here are his reasons. He writes, since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, after giving them 450 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe that our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Let us look at some of the reasons why it is becoming more and more difficult for us to live in peace with our former slave masters and their children. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us of the origin of the Caucasian people, that they were grafted from us, and they were given dominion and power to rule us, the original people, for a limited period of 6,000 years. He taught us how this happened, where it happened, when it happened, and most importantly, why it happened. You may find this deep scientific information in his monumental book, Message to the Black Man, on pages 112 through 118. Guess what? The scientists are now agreeing with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about the time of the white race's appearance on our planet and their nature. Oh, so many have mocked and ridiculed Mr. Muhammad's teachings about Yaqub that he said Allah taught him that the white man first appeared 6,000 years ago on an island in the Aegean Sea called Pilan or Patmos. But white scientists are now confirming the reality of this event in their history and this revelation from Allah to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. According to the National Geographic Society, scientists studying DNA have now confirmed that, quote, Europeans as a people are younger than we thought, close quote. Professor Alan Cooper, director of the Australian Center for Ancient DNA at the University of Adelaide, analyzed DNA from ancient skeletons and found that the genetic makeup of modern Europe was established just 6,500 years ago. Professor Cooper said, quote, the genetics show that something around that point caused the genetic signatures of previous populations to disappear. However, he writes, we don't know what happened or why. Other scientists have come to the same conclusions. Dr. Keith Cheng, a geneticist of Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine, led a study that shows the evolution of a gene for skin color and suggests that Europeans lightened up quite recently, perhaps only 6,000 to 12,000 years ago. Dr. Hans Eiberg of the University of Copenhagen confirmed that all blue-eyed humans have a genetic mutation that he says occurred 6 to 10,000 years ago. His team found a specific gene known as the OCA2 gene, which, if altered, would result in human beings without melanin in their hair, their eyes, or skin color, conditions known as albinism. Thus, this OCA2 gene seems to have been targeted and manipulated by some force or event around 6,000 plus years ago. You know, that makes us as Muslims feel real good because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us this, and we have brought it before scholars and scientists, and they mock us and laugh at us. Well, the researchers at the University of Chicago had found where genes appear to have been reshaped by natural selection within the last 5,000 to 15,000 years. Incredibly, Dr. Jonathan Pritchard estimates that the point in time when the genes of the Asian and European populations were altered was 6,600 years ago, the exact date that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that Mr. Yaqub began his Patmos Island grafting process. These scientists, Cooper, Iberg, Chen, and Pritchard, have scientifically zeroed in on a date in time that corresponds exactly to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But the scientists are yet unable to account for the reason for this dramatic genetic convulsion in the human family. Professor Cooper said this population moves in around 4,000 to 5,000 BC. That's about 6,500 years ago. But where it came from remains a mystery. Of course, it's not a mystery today. As they said, we can't see anything like it in the areas surrounding Europe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that they were given only 6,000 years to rule. And after that time, one greater than the one who brought them into existence would come and end their rule. That one is referred to in the scriptures of the Bible as the Son of Man. And in the Quran, it is the great Mahdi whose presence would be made known by the Messiah at the end of the time of this new people to rule, and that end is now. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 15th to 18th verses, and I would advise you to take and read the whole chapter. But in the 15th verse it reads, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep." But the messenger of God warned us, the real children of Israel, "Let that which happened to Israel serve as a sign to us that if we disobey Almighty God, Allah, and His Messiah, the same thing that is happening to Israel will also happen to us." These curses are now taking place because of the things that Jesus prophesied of wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But the greatest thing that's happening is the natural death of the white race. One of the factors that is causing our former slave masters and their children to be more antagonistic towards us is the white birth decline in Europe and America, and at the same time of their birth decline, the rise of Islam. not only in Africa and Asia, but in Europe, Canada, America, and now even south of the border. Europe and America's white birth decline and the rise of Islam. You know, on the internet, there's a group calling themselves America Working. They describe themselves as being committed to a conservative republic with one flag, one language, one country. And they are urging their supporters to take back our land and government. They state that one of their purposes is to educate people and to prepare them for the election of 2012, which you know what happened. On this website, they have a subject bar which says, quote, Nation of Islam. When you access it, there's a video entitled The Nation of Islam and Terrorism with the flag that Master Farad Muhammad gave us as the flag of the Nation of Islam, the sun, moon, and stars, but the crescent is in its first quarter as our Nation of Islam flag. The United States government knows that we are not terrorists. This video deals with Islamic terrorism and the fear of Muslim world domination. Before I say what they said, let me say to all the people of America, to all of you who are listening, there is no record of members of the Nation of Islam threatening any member of society, threatening to burn or blow up any institution in this society. We open our mosques so that you can come and hear our lectures each and every week. And if that is not enough, you have your agents among us and you cull whatever we say on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. So you know our thinking and you know that we're not planning any evil against this nation of our birth and this nation where we live, nor are we planning to harm or hurt anyone. You know this, government of America, but you're subtly dropping these seeds linking the Nation of Islam to terrorism. Well, the only thing that might terrorize you, especially if you've lied to the American people and deceived them, it might terrify you that someone is bold enough, courageous enough, fearless enough, righteous enough to stand up and tell the truth. And of course, any liar or deceiver is always terrorized with the presence of truth that manifests the lie and the liar. Let's listen to some of what is said by the narrator, and you can access the whole 9 minutes of this on YouTube or on their website. According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, they say, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3 is impossible to reverse because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. As of 2010, the narrator says, the fertility rate in France is 1.8. In England, 1.6. In Greece, 1.3. In Germany, 1.3. In Italy, 1.2. In Spain, 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility rate is a mere 1.4. Historical research tells us these numbers, according to this narrator, are impossible to reverse. He says, in a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of the earth is not declining. Why? They answer, Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, fertility rate 1.8 per family. Muslim fertility rate per family 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. In just 37 years, France will be an Islamic republic, according to this narrator and their research. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslims. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslims. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That is one out of five Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslims. The government of Belgium has stated that one-third of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 15 years away. The German government has said that the fall of the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. There are 52 million Muslims in Europe today, and that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the narrator says, the numbers tell a similar story. Canada's fertility rate is 1.6. Nearly a full point below what is required to maintain and sustain a culture. And Islam in Canada is the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million. 1.2 million of those by Islamic immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. But the influx of Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, the narrator says, there were 100,000 Muslims in America, and today there are over 9 million. Muammar Gaddafi said, quote, there are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquests. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers, suicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades. This is like a warning to white people to get ready for a change that they are not in control of. And according to this video, 2 to 2.1, down to 1.8 live births means that in 25 years, there will be a cultural change. But will you, as a white person, be able to survive? But once your birth rate goes to 1.6 and under, it is impossible to reverse. What is expressed in this video bears witness to what the Bible says, that their womb would be cursed and their land would be cursed. So we see the fruit of their womb is. And if this is true, within 100 years, white people may be non-existent on our planet. On April 9th, 1990, there was a cover of Time magazine which asks the question, what will the United States be like when whites are no longer the majority? And then it states, America's changing colors. Inside, there's an article written by William A. Henry III entitled Beyond the Melting Pot, which states, quote, someday soon, surely much sooner than most people who filled out their census forms last week realize, white Americans will become a minority group. If current trends in immigration and birth rates persist, the Hispanic population will have further increased an estimated 21%. The Asian presence, about 22%. Blacks, almost 12%. And whites, a little more than 2%. When the 20th century ends. By 2020, a date no further into the future than John F. Kennedy's election is in the past, that number of U.S. residents who are Hispanic or non-white will have more than doubled to nearly 115 million, while the white population will not be increasing at all. By 2056, when someone born today will be 66 years old, the average U.S. resident, as defined by census statistics, will trace his or her descent to Africa, Asia, the Hispanic world, the Pacific Islands, Arabia, almost anywhere but white Europe. The browning of America offers tremendous opportunity for capitalizing anew on the merits of many peoples from many lands. Yet this fundamental change in the ethnic makeup of the United States also poses risks. The American character is resilient and thrives on change, but past periods of rapid evolution have also, alas, brought out deeper, more fearful aspects of the national soul. In the Holy Quran, in the 3rd chapter, the 19th verse, it reads, "Surely the true religion with Allah is Islam. And those who were given the book differed only after knowledge had come to them out of envy among themselves. And whoever disbelieves in the messages of Allah, Allah indeed is quick at reckoning." In chapter 9, the 33rd verse, it reads, "He it is who has sent his messenger with the guidance and the true religion, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists are averse." In the 3rd chapter, the 85th verse, "And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter, he will be one of the losers." And in the 5th chapter, the 3rd verse, Allah says in the Quran, "This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you and chosen for you Islam as a religion." These are scriptures that back up what the narrator of this video was saying. And this is showing why there is so much Islamophobia in the West, which takes us back to 9/11 and the truth tellers that say it indeed was a false flag operation that was designed to create hatred for Islam and Muslims and to stop the growth of Islam in America as well as in Western Europe. These are some of the factors as to why whites will become more and more disagreeable to live with in peace. Remember the theme now. Why whites are becoming disagreeable to live with in peace. And since they are the originators and the organizers of Christianity, and they organized it under Constantine, not in Palestine where Jesus lived and taught and died, but it was organized in Rome, Italy, 325 years after the death of Jesus, for the purpose of the domination of the darker peoples of the world, with white supremacy using religion as the means of conquest. When you see the death of the West, it's not only the death of the West in terms of the dying population of the white race. It's the death of the religion that they organized for their political purposes, which comes back to Islam and the Quranic saying, "Surely the true religion with Allah is Islam." As the Caucasian sees his birth rate declining in America and around the world, and sees the rise in births among the blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Native Americans, and the darker peoples of the third world, his fear of the loss of his ability to continue to rule produces in him a state of mind that makes him more disagreeable to live with in peace. Conservative commentator Patrick Buchanan, in his 2002 book titled The Death of the West, How Dying Populations and Immigrant Invasions Imperil Our Country and Civilization, he shares his views on a declining white American population. He writes on page 12 of his book, quote, "The prognosis is grim. Between 2000 and 2050, world population will grow by more than 3 billion to over 9 billion people. But this 50% increase in global population will come entirely in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, as 100 million people of European stock vanish from the earth." In 1960, people of European ancestry were 1/4 of the world's population. In 2000, they were 1/6. In 2050, they will be 1/10 of the world's population. These are the statistics of a vanishing race. A growing awareness of what they portend is induced a sense of foreboding, even panic in Europe. What is the meaning of foreboding? It is a noun. It means fearful apprehension, a feeling that something bad will happen. As an adjective, it means to imply or seeming to imply that something bad is going to happen. Forebode, to have a presentiment of something bad. This foreboding has an effect on their mental state, and as they begin to lose the power to rule, and these curses that are mentioned in Deuteronomy and other places in the Bible and Quran begin to afflict them, then the level of civilization that they once displayed begins to gradually decline into absolute bestiality. You have this declining birth rate, which means the loss of their power to rule, the destruction of their economy, the fall of their currency, the foreboding of the weather changes and famine, and the destruction of the power of their religion over the darker people of the world. What effect does it have on their state of mind of one who has been made to rule? And when you couple it with the spread of an organized religion that the founder of it is not in any way responsible for what it says or what it has done, for Jesus did not preach Christianity. He never knew it existed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us. He taught freedom, justice, and equality. Unfortunately, Christianity has been used as a doctrine of white supremacy to oppress the darker peoples of the world. Lastly, what effect does it have on the state of mind of one made to rule to see Islam rising all over the planet, and rising in America, rising throughout the world? These events, circumstances, and factors should help us to understand the wicked policies that have been implemented by the government of America to exercise population control through depopulation of the darker peoples of the world. Even though these wicked plans are now being practiced, yet the population of the third world people continues to rise. So even though we are being poisoned in the water, poisoned in the food by the spreading of disease, yet we are still here, and we are still multiplying. But here's something to consider. For the state of mind of our black leadership class is, they can't see themselves in any way being separated from their former slave masters and their children. They can't see it. They don't want to see it. And really, most don't want it. To think of separation in a land of their own, using their creative talent and capability in every field of human endeavor, but using this knowledge for the benefit of self. And so when our leaders think like that, they're going to continue to press the government, press white people. We want to stay with you. And the anger is going to increase, and the blood shedding will increase, and soon you will see that it is the time in history that we must be separated. In 1957, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in a debate with J.B. Stoner, the imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. It was a debate in written correspondence. Mr. Stoner said that in the future, the Klan won't wear robes. They will be in various police departments, in the various offices of government. They would be in the Supreme Court. They would be in corporate America, judges and prosecutors. But their idea, their mentality would be the same as those who had their white hoods on and hanged and castrated and beat blacks and burned crosses on our lawns. And this is what we're seeing today in America from the streets of stop and frisk, of this racial profiling of judges and courts wherein we cannot seem to get justice. Well, finally, it is the presence of the truth of the time and what must be done that is also making the transgenic or grafted human being completely disagreeable to live with in peace. Let us look at how America, in which we presently live, was formed. In the Declaration of Independence, written almost exclusively by Thomas Jefferson, it reads, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. What is the meaning of these terms? Unalienable, life, liberty, happiness. Unalienable means it is impossible to take away, not able to be transferred or taken away because of being protected by natural law. What is the meaning of life? It is a noun that means existence in a physical world. The quality that makes living animals and plants different from dead organisms and inorganic matter. Its functions include the ability to take in food of that environment, grow and reproduce. What is the meaning of liberty? Liberty is the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. What is happiness? Happiness is the state of being happy, feeling or showing pleasure, contentment, or joy, causing or characterized by pleasure, contentment, or joy, feeling satisfied that something is right or has been done right. You know, when you look in nature, you look at a bear before it hibernates. It must pursue the required amount of food that will allow it to hibernate for months. So the pursuit of happiness to that creature is its ability to gain what it needs, that when it lays down, it's contented. The pursuit of happiness when it gets out of the animal and insect and crawling creature kingdom. Each creature is satisfied when it does and is not hindered from doing according to its nature. That is the pursuit of happiness. What would make you happy? Just put it on an individual plane. You go to bed at night, you dream about things that you would like to see different. You dream about things that you desire in your life personally. And when you get up the next morning after sleep, you pursue that which will make you happy or contented in your life. The Quran says, Allah made the night for rest and sleep, and the day to rise up again, seeking the bounty of your Lord. And if you are restrained from that pursuit by some effort of somebody else to keep you from fulfilling your pursuit of happiness, then that hinders, thwarts, and restrains you. And whatever does that is an enemy of you. Provided that your pursuit of happiness does not destroy the happiness of others, and provided that your pursuit of happiness is in accord with the nature of your creation, which is a nature of righteousness. If these unalienable rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we are endowed with these rights by the Creator, and any infringement on these rights then is devil. The Declaration of Independence is not the Constitution. It is just declaring the reasons why the 13 original colonies desired to separate from the British to eventually become what would be called the United States of America. Their reasons for separating are universal, and our reasons for separating today are the same. Now, dispensing with that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "The elements of life are freedom, justice, and equality. And anything and anyone that deprives us of these three essentials of life has created death for us and is devil." So if life is freedom, justice, and equality, and you oppose my freedom, you oppose justice, you oppose equality for me and for us, then how could I be happy when my pursuit of these justly endowed principles by my Creator are interfered with by your desire to keep me as a slave and as a tool. So you have become a devil to me now. So the question is asked in our lessons, can you reform devil? And the answer is no. All the prophets have tried. So what does that say? That you will never be content with somebody else being free from you if you are born to rule them, or you see yourself as entitled to rule. So if we come up and we say we do not want any longer to be ruled by you, then to you we have become a threat. My dear and beloved brothers and sisters, in Message to the Black Man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on page 36, he writes, separation of the so-called Negroes from their slave masters' children is a must. It is the only solution to our problem. You must know, black man and woman of America, that this is the time of our separation and the judgment of this present world, which you and I have known. And on page 38, he writes, let us make this clear. I am not begging, for it pleases Allah. He will give us a home on this earth, and I am with him. Today, according to Allah's word, we are living in a time of the great separation of the blacks and whites, and the separation of us would be a blessing for both sides. And on page 45, he continues, you must know that you have not been rightly civilized, and no man can enslave another who has equal education or knowledge. My people lack science of the right kind. Allah is here to give you and me a superior knowledge of things and a country to ourselves. Separation of the so-called Negroes from their slave masters' children is a must. It was the only solution, according to the Bible, for Israel and the Egyptians, and it will prove to be the only solution for America and her slaves, whom she mockingly calls her citizens without granting citizenship. We must keep this in our minds at all times. We are actually being mocked. So, beloved brothers and sisters, next week, same time, same station, we're going to continue this subject on land and separation. And I pray that Allah will guide, bless, and protect you, and that the Twitter army, I'm so proud of you, will engage the people with intelligent dialogue. They must agree it is the time to be separated. Thank you for listening, and may Allah grant you the light of understanding as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Please log on again next week and every week this year for the time and what must be done. Tell your friends, tell your family. Log on to NOI.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time for truth, guidance, and unequaled love from the National Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pass on the word every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time at NOI.org. The time and what must be done. Remember, to have Minister Farrakhan answer your questions, tweet them to @LouisFarrakhan, #AskFarrakhan. And to add this message to your library or as a gift for someone you love, go to store.finalcall.com.